Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 475. And today we're going to talk about the new Google AI mode and start to extrapolate what we think it might mean for you, the realtor, or people that are real estate adjacent. Before we get into that, though, my tremendous, amazing, pugilistic co-host, I love calling him that because he used to be a boxer a million years ago, as always, responsible for the choice, the selection, the notes, the thought that goes behind the production of the show. And I, as usual, show up and word vomit into your ear. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me introduce you to Jonathan Denwood. John, go ahead and say a word or two about yourself.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert. I'm the joint founder of mail-write.com. We're an easy-to-use CRM with a load of lead-generative functionality as part of it at a very attractive price, starting month to month at $49 a month. What more could you ask for? Back over to you, Rob.
Beautiful. And in case you don't already know, my name is Robert Newman. I'm the founder of InboundREM.com or Inbound Real Estate Marketing. And generally speaking, I am probably one of the top real estate SEO guys in the country, if not the top guy. So without any further ado, we're not going to talk about SEO today, though. We're going to talk about AIO, which is artificial intelligence optimization. So get used to hearing the term AIO. It's all that you're going to be hearing for the next few years. Google unleashes AI mode. What does this mean for realtors? John, why don't you kick us off? What do you think it means? Discover how, you have a thing. I'm curious to know, though, literally, what do you think it means?
It probably means, in practical terms, you're going to get fewer clicks to your website. But those clicks, if it's done in the right way, should have more relevance, and a lot of the traffic to a website was bulk generated, or depending on the type of SEO or the content on the website, it could be quite shallow. What I mean is it wasn't really going to do anything, even if it got to your website. Only the top five results are probably going to show in AI mode with Google. So it's becoming even more winner takes all. But reality, the top three got over 70% of all traffic anyway. But that's the main thing. And these language models are getting more sophisticated. The results that they're generating. And basically, Google's in a really tricky spot, but they've got the money and they've got the technology and they've got the data. So they're still in a very strong position.
Interesting. So there's two separate sides to this. When you wrote the title of the article, John, I got to tell you, I actually misunderstood what you meant. And I usually get what you mean. So, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, that's unusual. That's not common at all. And what I misunderstood is I thought you wanted to talk about Gemini. And it turned out that you didn't want to talk about Gemini, that what you wanted to talk about is the new feature where you can sign up. So for those that didn't know, because I didn't know, and I specialize in this stuff. So John, I'm going to take a moment and say, for those of you who didn't know, there is an actual AI mode and you can click try it. And then the actual search experience that you're having changes. Now, I clicked try it so long ago, I didn't remember. And so I'm getting these AI results the whole entire time thinking that it was a standard search thing because I forgot the steps that I took to do it. But it turns out that it's not standard. You can click it. And when you do click it, what Google is doing is they're offering six or seven interesting AI features, but because they're Google, they're giving you a link to the source. So like I did Google AI mode as a search, my AI overview has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 10 links in it that take you back to content. But each link is only taking you back to a single piece of content that had the best answer for detailed responses, interactive search. It's really fascinating the way that it's changing. And I do not disagree with your summation, John, that it's going to be less traffic, but higher quality. But I do want everybody to understand why it's going to be higher quality. If you happen to be lucky enough to be one of the 8 links in an AI search result that Google has presented, Google is literally saying that you're actually the top resource for that subsection of the overall response. No longer is 1 through 10. No longer do you have to figure out who Google thinks is top. They're telling you. I think that's groundbreaking, personally. So AI mode again, because number one on our list to explain here is, what is it? It's a different search experience. It's a search experience based on artificial intelligence, where you're not going to get a list of 10 websites, or you are, and it's going to be below the AI result. So Google has just extended their search page once again, but AI gives you the option to deeply change the way that you're consuming search. And frankly, even though this does not play out in my favor, I love it. John, what about you?
I think the elephant, I totally agree with what you just said. I think the elephant is that the responses back is going to be much, it's going to be customized depending on what Google knows about you and what your searches have been before. So every person is going to have a much more customized search environment and response to their searches.
And this leads to the question that you posed, which is a fascinating question. Well, how does this affect people like me who have careers or lives or websites all dedicated to SEO, search engine optimization? Well, so far what we've seen is you've seen about a 10 or 15% drop in traffic. And I'm a leader, so that's a big number. We do expect fewer clicks, and the visibility has dropped. And my analytics look not as good as they used to. So these are all ways that AI has impacted my SEO. Now, here's what we're not talking about a lot, though. That, and I need everybody, including you, John, to understand that I am easily one of the top 10 real estate news-based, kind of like content-based sites in the world at this point. Like, no doubt. So when I say the following, understand that most people couldn't replicate it. While all of the things I told all of you are true, I would say that of my last 10 leads, fully 6 of them were generated by AI. And what do I mean by that? My last 10 leads, when I asked people where they found me, 4 of them, hands down, were ChatGPT. The other 2 were questionable gray area. I'm going to assume they're like Gemini or something similar, like another type of artificial intelligence. And when I asked the question, John, did you do any further research? Like, did you call somebody? They're like, no. It is crazy to me how many people are just saying ChatGPT gives you one answer, but because they're presenting it as the best, like this is the top person, this is the best SEO guy in the country, this is the best real estate website, whatever it is, right? They just go. They're not questioning it at all or doing any further shopping, which is blowing my mind. Blowing my mind. So I suspect strongly that AI is going to AIO and is going to impact SEO in a very big way. I don't think it's like I'm not a doom person. I don't think, John, it's going to take us out of business or me out of business specifically. I think there's still a big spot for SEO inside everybody's marketing strategies. However, is that spot going to be the same size that it is now? No way. No way. AIO is going to take that over. And as a matter of fact, it probably should be like, you should immediately do 50% AIO, 50% SEO, like immediately, in my opinion. What do you think?
I don't break the two up really. I really see if you're producing some decent content and it's a bit slightly more in depth and Google actually thinks you actually know what you're talking about and you're producing quite a bit. Because I kind of hit it with WP Tonic, my other company. I'm prolific. You know, I'm doing 2 podcasts. I've got a channel that's got over 10,000 subscribers or getting close to it. I'm producing content every week. I do a fair bit with the mail right as well. I've increased what I'm doing there a bit. So hopefully I'm giving the signals to Google that actually no, it's probably Google. And that's what I think you got to do. You know, like I put on as number three, if you don't shape the narrative, the AI will do it for you. So
we're gonna have a show, John. Remember this and bookmark this show because there is enough data out there now that we're starting to understand how ChatGPT and other things like it work. It's not even remotely related to SEO. And so we should have a conversation about generative language inside your content in order to rank for artificial intelligence. Now, me and my guys got very lucky in that I have so much content and so much public commentary surrounding my content that is the reason I'm doing so well in AI models, is that I had, and what's more, I've had that out there for years, which meant that whenever those models were built, they picked up that stuff, and I'm getting a surprise gift in the form of AI results currently. So let's talk a little, let's just officially move into, if you don't shape the narrative, AI will do it for you. Now, I think I know what you meant, but why don't you just go ahead and illuminate it for all of us? What is your fear? What is your concern around that, John? Like, what is your concern that AI is going to do if you don't do it yourself?
Well, it's a large language model. It's a pattern recognition technology using very sophisticated, well, this is my take on it. I'm not an expert, but I'm interested in the subject. And I know a couple of people who are AI scientists. And basically, it's using very sophisticated forms of mathematics and pattern recognition. And a lot of data is the recognition of patterns. And this is on a different league, its ability, and language is a pattern, much more than we're probably aware of. And, I think Google was, I don't know what your response is going to be. They were utilizing this technology in the background about 2-3 years ago to actually index the content that they were showing people that, you know, and my understanding is that AI and that large language models have been around since the 1950s, but it had become a kind of, looking for the right term, you know, there were people still in that area, but it wasn't a particularly very dynamic, well-funded part of science. But that changed after 9/11 because the government had enormous amounts of data. You know, it wanted to monitor people's phone calls, email, Zooms, and it built and it has built a group of very large data centers where all this information is stored. And it needed a technology that could filter through this enormous amount of data and highlight words, sentences, conversations, which it feels are a danger to society and, you know, terrorism. So it invested an enormous amount of money in this form of science. And I don't think people are aware of that, actually, Robert. But that, because like the internet itself, the internet was developed by enormous government investment.
True. But my understanding, like definitely the government, internet, all historical fact. So the my comment or thoughts to what you just said was, this is one of those rare occasions in which government has actually influenced tech instead of tech influencing government. It's usually the opposite way around. I agree with that. I agree with the history of it. What I can add to that conversation is the is the comment on Google introduced a form of a logarithm that everybody's been copying, and I am absolutely friggin' gobsmacked that of all the things that Google was doing, this is the thing that people copied. So part of the first delving into kind of like a large language model, including in front of their Gemini efforts and all their AI efforts 4 years ago, they've now gone on documentation and said, the first thing that they did is say, I wonder if we can sort the relevance of somebody's brand mentions into the actual ranking algorithm. That was their original thing. But like you just said, that required a massive, huge data filter because they're like, we're going to read the internet. All of the internet and go, how many times has somebody mentioned MailRite? Like all the internet that we can get our hands on. When you think about that, that's trillions upon trillions of pieces of information.
Terabytes. It's terabytes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a crazy statement. When I read it originally, I thought they were fucking nuts. But it turns out that no, it was Robert that was just not thinking big enough. They've gotten to the point where they can do that. And that was the basis of, like you're saying, large language models. And it was the first application that Google applied. And then they started building beyond that. They just didn't hit mark. They just didn't get to market first. ChatGPT did. And ChatGPT used the data that they could find about all the development without breaking massive laws. And they basically said, okay, we know that Google's doing X, Y, and Z with brand mentions. So let's just use that inside ChatGPT. So of the large language models, which believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, all work differently, the ChatGPT and Gemini are both based heavily in terms of their ranking, based heavily on brand mentions, not links. So major difference, John, major difference. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue forward our conversation. We're going to start off with basically, we're going to give you some moats, some things that you can do and some ways that you can protect yourself and your business against the storm of AI. Or maybe if you're forward thinking, you can pivot to try to get in front of it. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in wherever you're at and however you're doing. We would really, 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 really appreciate it if you would click that like or comment button. By doing so, our previous audience members have made us the number 86 show in the world for real estate agents. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And let's keep the momentum going. Like and share, like and share, like and share. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 475. Of the MailRite show. You have found the number 86 show. Today's show is sponsored by mail-write.com and inboundrem.com. If you are a sponsor and you would like to give John and I loads of money to have us mention you on the show, I have to tell you, we are receptive to that idea. Now, moving on to at least I assume we are. I've never talked to John about it, but he's never actually refused the idea of loads of money as long as it's ethical. So here we are, where we're gonna talk about becoming super local to become really super important. Now I have so much to say on this, so let's start with you, John.
Yeah, because it's kind of linked. I don't think I gave some history, but I didn't really answer the question of three, but question three and four kind of linked. And it's about being active on social media. It's about actually posting content that has value to people, that's actually looking for property in the niche. You know, we're constantly talked about finding a niche if you can, and then utilizing video. It's giving, and you mentioned brand, and you know, having you on social media, doing video, writing content, giving those signals. And then you've got the map placement, which I think they're also changing as part of AI mode. I didn't delve into that, in all that, but I think they're going to be changing that to some degree. But, you know, being super local and is the way that an agent or a small brokerage can really compete with the big guys, and it's giving those signals. So when people are doing localized search, that your content comes up in the AI snippet, isn't it?
Yeah. So what John is saying is right. More and more and more and more focus for rank for all the things that we have traditionally come to understand, such as, oh, I want to rank for SEO. Okay, great. Well, now more and more and more, your reputation as a realtor in your local space impacts ranking across the board. Already does with Google in traditional survey, and it has for 10 years. It just was not a massive metric. It was a small metric. But now we're talking about AI. And AI, there's no question AI is looking at your reviews, your published online reviews. They look at them. I can verify that they do. They also look at your brand mentions. They look at both. That's crazy. That means that your Zillow profile has added value. Your Google profile has added value. Your website has added value. Every place that you house reviews. And as I have always said, the authority lies with the bigger portals. So most likely, even though you would like to think that posting your reviews directly to your website is the smarter, best idea, I'm here to tell you it's absolutely not. You want your reviews on, and I don't like this website, but you want your reviews on Yelp, you want your reviews on Google, you want your reviews on Zillow, you want your reviews on Realtor.com before you want them on your profile. So you pick some places or all those places and you get your clients to post reviews about you there. Because guess what? Not only does it count for your traditional SEO results, it counts for your local SEO results now. And that's not even counting the idea of how people are buying and selling services these days. It's no longer like, John, I still have people call into me and say, all right, I'll go anywhere in California and sell a house. It's like, dude, what year are you living in? It's starting to sound antiquated to me. It's like, number one, the person that lives in Pacoima is not calling a Los Angeles realtor. The only circumstance in which that makes sense is like, John, if you're my cousin and you're like, Robert, can you do me a massive, huge favor, get licensed out here in Reno and then come out here and just help me with my real estate stuff because I've just had all these terrible experiences with realtors. I'd really appreciate it. Other than that extraordinarily extreme scenario, I do not see where the logic lies in trying to get a realtor because everybody knows. John, if you had to guess, how many licensed realtors do you think there are within 10 miles of where you're located?
Where I am, oh, I have no idea, basically, to be honest.
A couple hundred at least?
Yes, I would say so.
Okay. And that's in a much smaller city. I'm in Los Angeles, 10 miles radius square from me right now. A couple thousand. Yeah. Yes. Best guess. Maybe more. So a couple thousand realtors. You think to yourself, within 10 miles of my house, I should be able to find one that can do a little short drive over here and do all the real estate work. Does that make sense to you, John? Because it sure does make sense to me.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about when we say about local. Now, I really want to get into these final subjects because they're great and I don't have a lot of time left. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to fast forward into the next thing that you put on here, which is paid placement is coming. What makes you say that? I mean, I don't disagree. I'm just curious.
Well, you know, that's like generates 80% of Google's income or very, very to that level. So this has been one of their problems, isn't it? But it's coming, you know, that's how OpenAI is going to generate more income. They've been the first to get people to sign up for different paid plans. But it is the main way Google plans to monetize this and keep the company one of the most profitable businesses in North America, is that when it does AI snippet search, you can, I don't know how this is going to work out with the regulators. I have no idea, because it's a bad enough situation as it is, but this is going to put it on steroids. But they're some of those snippet recommendations are going to be paid for.
It's an interesting, yeah, I guess, I mean, anytime a business monetizes, that's going to be true. Google is currently monetizing these results the same way they always have, which is their, if you go to the higher or lower parts of the page, there's still their traditional sponsored results. They have a page, but you are right in the sense that other people are not doing that. That gives Google a chance to potentially move in behind them and do exactly what you said. Exactly. I hadn't even thought of it. It's so egregiously commercial. I hadn't even thought of it, which is embarrassing because I think you're right. I think I actually think that that's a very, very solid point that you're probably right. Like wherever money can be made is generally where it's going to get made. Now, the AI responses that Google is doing, they allow you to save to overviews and then copy and paste to like a sheet. Currently, because of all the rules and regulations dominating Google, they're not nearly ahead of the game as other tools are when it comes to exporting, transporting information. Okay. But they are, Gemini has proven that Google has the tech. They've got the ability to do it. You just have to sign up for it and pay a subscription. Whereas ChatGPT does all sorts of fascinating things where it just allows you to download, you know, PDFs and stuff like that. And just like crazy what you can do. And why do I say that? Because ChatGPT, as far as I can tell, is the biggest company at just begging for a lawsuit. 100 of them. I don't know how they're not just at full stop in court. Like, I seriously don't know. Nobody asked me or anybody that I know if they could use our information. Now, in theory, that we put it out onto the web because we allow it to be read, but not used. It's curious. They're saying they're reading it. Anyway, I agree with what you said. And actually, I agree with you in the thing that I think is fascinating is where are we going to go with the law as it relates to all this stuff?
I do think, I know you've got to be off in a minute, but I do think that they're going to have to back off a little bit, because what I mean by that is that if you're just taking people's content and generating answers and there's no benefit for the people that make the content, in the end, the content's going to dry up. Because I'm not getting into general intelligence and this about the supermind, because I just want us to concentrate on these large language models because they're fantastic technology. But it is only pattern recognition at amazing scale. But if people start putting things behind paywalls and not produce, because there's no reason for them, because they're not going to get any traffic, no benefit from it, so people will stop producing it. So I think they've got to motivate content generation in some way. And I might be totally wrong about this, but it is going to be interesting to see how all this works out, Robert.
I couldn't agree with you more. Motivation, like, listen, you take away all my drive, all the possibility of ranking everything. I would happily keep what I've got up on the internet, but I'm going to save myself the $60,000 to $100,000 a year I spend on content. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Starting tomorrow, and with a sigh of relief to some degree, even though it's my business. I love helping and producing it, but there is always the piece of my mind, John, that looks at it and goes, at least in theory, I'm breaking even on the effort. Like, I'm not just spending money to altruistically educate everybody. Like, there's a reason, you know, and
your business.
Yeah. So if you take away that element, oh, I'm out, man. I'm out tomorrow. Good point. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry, John. I'm so sorry, audience. I have had a hard in and out today, and I apologize to everybody. It's a real brief show. Well, it's just no bonus content today. It's actually the same length as always. My name is Ben Robert Newman. You can find me at InboundRAM.com. Do us a favor. Remember that you are listening to the number 86 show in the wild for real estate. We're so grateful if you do us a favor to smash that like button or hit the comment button. It does end up, as it turns out, make a huge difference in our ranking, and it costs you nothing. Zero. Nada. John, how would you like people to reach out to you?
Yeah, you know, if you want to support the show, go to Robert's YouTube channel, Inbound Marketing, and subscribe. And also go to the MailRight YouTube channel and subscribe to that channel. I think that's the best way that you could show your support for the both of us. Go to those two channels and subscribe, and that's the best way. If you want to contact me, just go to the MailRight website, have a look at what we've got to offer. I think you're going to be blown away with the value that we're offering. And back over to you, Rob.
And just don't remember, it's mail-right when you go to johnswebsite.com. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. And I hope we provoke some thoughtful discussion amongst yourself today. It was I love the subject, John. Keep them coming. I think it's on a lot of people's minds. I hope we found that it was on our audiences. Goodbye, everybody.